Lord, we just want to praise you and glorify you and thank you for being our Father, and we love you, Lord, and we just want to thank you for being our Father and guiding us and directing us, Lord. You're so holy, and you're teaching us how to be holy, Lord, and in that perfection in you, Lord, and you're teaching us how to just rest in you and allow you to do the work in us, Father, and we just praise you for that. We thank you for that measure of faith you've given each one of us, Lord, and that gives us this walk that you have asked us to walk in, Lord. We praise you for that. We thank you for blessing tonight's fellowship as well, Lord, with your anointing. And Lord, give us all wisdom and knowledge and discernment. We all need that very much so in the days ahead, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be a special night, Lord, that tonight we're going to all come together and learn in your book of 2 Peter. And we just praise you, Father, for that. We thank you, Lord, for the revelations that are going to come out of that, because I know it is full of stuff, Lord. It is full of stuff from you, Lord. And we just praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's go ahead and see if anybody has any prayer requests and would like to pray for somebody or would like prayer. Is that you, Pam?
No, I'm Sandy.
Oh, okay, Sandy. All right, good deal. I need to put that down so I can put you in the computer with that number. Okay. All right, anybody got any prayer requests or would like to pray?
I have prayer requests, but I want you to pray for me.
All right.
I just want you to keep praying for me like we did for here Monday, because I don't want to go to dialysis anymore, and I don't want to do anything with any of that anymore, none of it. And the battle already started with them, kind of. I went to the doctors today because of the whatever it's called, fistula, and he was a little bit perturbed with me, and he was just like, buckle up and take it type thing, and without using those words. And no, I'm not taking no more of nothing anymore. If it's not the word of God, I don't want to take it. And I don't have to. I refuse to accept anything else. So I'm just standing and believing that the Lord's going to do it all. And do it all. And I need help, because I don't want to waver, and I want to just stand on his word and believe in his word only, because that's the only thing that's truth anyway. And I don't want to fall back, so I need help.
Okay. All right. Did they take the stent out of your chest?
Nope. Nope.
Okay. Are they going to?
I'm just
going
to have to believe the Lord is going to handle it and do it any kind of way he wants.
Okay.
Because I don't want it.
Okay. All right, well, let's pray. We got a bunch of believers in here that got a great and bold faith, so this is a good time to do it. Father, in the name of Jesus,
yeah,
Lord.
And I refuse to be manipulated anymore by the enemy.
Amen. Amen. Father, we just thank you for the faith that you're giving Sandy, once again, Lord, and we praise you that you're giving her and Jeff both bold faith to go ahead and walk this walk of faith that you have us on, Lord, and we thank you for that. And we, in the name of Jesus right now, I command that stent to be coming out and to be healed in the name of Jesus, to heal over like it never was there. And I command her arm to be healed in the name of Jesus. All pain go from her right now in the name of Jesus. I command the kidneys to operate and function correctly in the name of Jesus. I command her body, every cell, every organ in her body to operate and to work just like a new organ and new body does. In Jesus' name, I command that spirit of infirmity off of her right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for placing in her bold faith. I command double-mindedness to go from her right now in Jesus' name and from Jeff. I command every foul spirit that's been interrupting her life for the last 2 or 3 years to go from her right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you go in Jesus' name. Confusion, go right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that she is healed, delivered, and set free in Jesus' name. Now, foot, grow out right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that she is healed and she is set free from the wiles of the devil in Jesus' name. And, Father, we thank you for a favor with the doctors. Whatever they're trying to do, we command those spirits that are driving them, those witchcraft spirits right now in Jesus' name, we cast down the curses that they have spoken against her right now as null and void in Jesus' name.
Yes.
And we thank you, Father, that Sandy, that there is a hedge of protection around her from this point on, a fire that will cast down any kind of witchcraft or voodoo or anything from the enemy in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that she is healed. We command that house to be free of any kind of demonic interference in Jesus' name. Amen. In Jesus' name. We command that spirit of that undercover spirit that's been lurking around to go in the name of Jesus. And we command that those spirits that might be trying to come back with Jeff have to stop right there at the property line and can't come on it in Jesus' name. That's holy ground now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that she is free and clear and set free in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
You believe that?
Yes.
I do too. I believe you're healed, set free, and delivered in Jesus' name. I know everybody on here does too. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Hey, Sandy?
Yeah?
Jeremy Hart, too. We can pray for you, and we can cast all this off, but make sure you don't have any unforgiveness. Go ahead and take the time to figure that out, too. I'm not saying you do, but just look through it, because that could be a hindrance.
Yeah, I was looking, I was really examining myself a lot when I came back from the doctors today, and I realized I have a lot of unforgiveness for the doctors. And then I thought, well, that's my dumb fault, you know. I shouldn't have went there in the first place. But anyway, you know, then I asked the Lord to forgive me for getting mad at them, because they're only doing what they know. They don't know otherwise. And then I even had to ask the Lord to forgive me. And that's hard. That's why I keep messing up. I'm really good at condemning myself, and I didn't realize how good I was at it until today. The Lord was really just showing me, and I'm like, oh, I got to forgive myself for that. I got to forgive myself and give that to the Lord and make a clean stand, so to speak, of all this. And so I've been doing a lot of forgiving today, and one good thing, a little while ago I was talking to Missy, and I hope she gets on the conference, but anyway, I was talking to her, and she was talking to me, and earlier when I came back from the doctors today, I've been having trouble with my eyesight, but praise God, I know that the Lord is going to restore that too, and I could see in the Word where my finger was on Matthew 28, and it was on 28:16, and my question to the Lord was, okay, Lord, you see where I keep wavering. I don't want to be wavering, and I don't want to have doubt anymore. And Lord, I keep feeling like every time I talk to these doctors and tell them I don't want it, I get sucked like into this vortex, and my words get twisted, and then my mind gets all mumble jumbled, and I'm like, Lord, okay, I don't have no business going there. But my question was to the Lord was, what exactly is it that you want me to do? So my finger landed on disciples, And I was chapter 28, verse 16, but I couldn't read what it was saying. And I still can't read it right now, but my finger landed on disciples, and on part of it where, and I think she read it till the end, and he was even talking about how the disciples were doubtful and unwavering, and I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord. And this is when he was telling them, I think that's the part where they used to call it the Great Commission, I'm not sure, but if somebody could read that, that would be just awesome. But that's the word that the Lord gave me. And okay. And when Misty read it to me, I got such encouragement. I go, the conference. I remember today was the conference. I don't know why I have trouble remembering when the conference is, but today I remembered, and I thought, oh, good. I'm going to ask them to pray for me, and I'm going to share what the Lord gave me, but I can't read it. But anyway.
Missy, do you have it?
Yeah, I got it.
Missy's on here. She can read it.
Okay. I'm chomping at the bit here. Anyway, can you hear me all right? Can you hear me all right, Micah?
Yeah, go
yeah,
ahead,
we
Missy.
Hear you.
Okay. Verse 16 of 28 of Matthew 28, verse 16. But the okay, I'm tongue-tied here. But the 11 disciples went into Galilee unto the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came to them and spake unto them, saying, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
Praise God.
That really encouraged me because, you know, a part of the fear that I had or the thing that was bothering me is the thing that they have over my heart, the port or whatever they call it, to do the dialysis. And part of the fight that I was having with these doctors is I'm telling them I don't want it, take it out. But I got manipulated because they said, well, we have to put a fifth, whatever it's called, the thing in my arm that they put, saying they had to put that before they took this out. And everybody was saying they weren't going to take it out. They couldn't take it out. And they refused to take it out. And I was like, wow, okay, so that, you know, they keep saying, but we need to hurry up and take it out because if you don't and it gets an infection, the infection is going to go in your heart. And I kept hearing that. The enemy kept repeating that. So when I got this word today, and when he said, even though you are doubting, and see, that's where I was wavering because I know this is something artificial that man put in, but there's nothing impossible for God. If he wants it to fall out, it can fall out. So, but I kept going back and forth with that, back and forth, because of what man was saying. And I refused to believe it. God's going to handle this any kind of way he wants, and he can because I'm his, and he can do it any kind of way he wants. I am not going back to the man or the world to handle my situation because it's the Lord who needs to be handling me. Does that make any sense?
It makes a lot of sense. Praise God. I've been waiting for that for a long time. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. What do you think, Missy?
I was really encouraged talking to her earlier. I was being blessed. I'm like, you know, I thought to call her earlier today, and I think I got another call or something happened, and then I forgot, and then I was just sitting here reading for the Bible study tomorrow, and then it just popped into my head and called Sandy. I was like, I didn't call Sandy yet, so I called her and was just talking to her, trying to encourage her, and the Lord gave me this revelation. We were talking about, you know, God sees the end from the beginning, and all of a sudden, it's just revelation came to me because I never quite saw it this way. And it may be just like everybody else, it may be like, well, yeah, that's, you know, I've seen that. But I never saw it this way before. It was like, God sees the end from the beginning. He sees everything accomplished. He sees it perfected in him. But, you know, what I saw was, the only way I know how to describe it is with God, there is no difference between the beginning and the end. The beginning and the end are the same thing to him, because once he speaks it, it's accomplished. Everything's been accomplished before the foundation of the world. The Lord was crucified before the foundation of the world. It's just now that it's being played out in time. But God already had it all accomplished before the foundation of the world. And that's, you know, but seeing that there is no difference between the beginning and the end, there's no, with God, you know, with God, there is no time between the beginning and the end, that they are one and the same as far as God is concerned. The beginning and the end are the same thing.
It's a done deal, ain't it?
Yeah. I never quite saw it that way before. So that was just like really cool. And so, yeah, that was just awesome. So.
Praise God. I'm looking for a miracle now.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
And I told Sandy, I said, you know, anytime you need encouragement, don't be afraid to call me. She says, well, that's going to be a lot because I've been struggling here lately, but not anymore, Sandy. You know, the fact that, you know, just you fight that good fight and don't give in to the enemy. Don't listen. Don't talk to any of them doctors, because they're going to do nothing but give you the bad report, and that, you know, you just don't even let the enemy make you feel guilty that, like, maybe you're being rude or being mean or whatever. You're not being fair and not calling them and telling them that you're not going to be there, because when you do that, all you're going to do is give them an opportunity to come back at you and say something, you know?
Yeah, I know. That's where the vortex opens.
So I'm here rooting for you, and I'm here fighting with you, and I'm your cheerleader, and I'm, call me anytime.
Well, amen. Not only that, Sandy, just think of this. There's no telling how many other people that's going to hear this on the broadcast, you know, after it's put on there, and we'll be praying for you too. So you're going to have a lot of people praying for you. So there's no reason for you to sit there by you and think that you're by yourself, because you're not. Like Missy said, when you get in that position where that enemy's attacking you, call Missy, call me, call David, whoever, you know, whoever you can get a hold of. And I guarantee you, God will help you out. He wants you on this walk. I know that.
Yeah, me too.
Amen.
Hey, Michael, that goes for Jeff, too.
Yes.
What's that?
I say that goes for Jeff, too. They can call me if they need to.
Okay. Yeah, I did. Have Jeff call Chris, or you can call Chris, or whatever, you know. Any one of us can, you know, help you out. There's Kurt on here. Jackie's on here. Charlie and Linda's on here. A lot of people from the local are here, and there's some people out there that you know in the outreach, Marlon and Gano, that are here too. Judy's on here, you know. So, yeah, we're not a Chad and Charity. Stan and Claudia is here, and then there's Barry, and we got a bunch of folks on here tonight. So there's a lot of faith going towards you, girl. Don't be surprised if you wake up in the morning, you got 2 feet. What's that?
Can we pray for Jeff right now? Because I know a lot of fear sets in with Jeff when he sees symptoms manifesting in me. This is where I need prayer too, because I'm really strong at first, and I'm rebuking and I'm, you know, binding and not accepting, and then it's like that I get beat down. I physically feel beat down, and then when I get to that point, I start letting it in and thinking like the world does, and I don't want to do that anymore. I need to get into my word and stand strong in it, because that's the only way that we're going to renew our mind is, you know, by reading the word. And I want to pray that for Jeff, too, because when he starts seeing these symptoms manifest, I see the fear in his face, which then I get shaken up. I mean, I try not to, but then I do. And I don't want to do what the world tells me to do.
All
I
right.
don't.
Let me just say something here. From this point on, we're going to speak positive things about Jeff and yourself. We're not going to say Jeff did this or Sandy did this. We're going to say God did this. Praise God.
Amen.
Okay,
yes.
In the name of Jesus right now, we command any kind of fear off of Jeff, any kind of double-mindedness off of Jeff. We command that spirit of pharmakia off of him in Jesus' name. We command that place he's working in has no effect on his spiritual life in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that from this point on, Jeff is going to have bold and great faith, and he's going to be the one that stepped forward and said, no, Sandy, we're not going to do that. We're going to believe God. And I thank you, Father, that he is the man of God with that authority in his household. And he's going to exert that authority in there and run the devil off in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
And Father, we praise you for Jeff's spiritual walk right now in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe it.
Hey, Sandy.
Amen. Me too.
Amen.
Andy, amen. Go ahead, Kurt.
Yeah. While she was talking and everything, I just saw in a vision, I saw her walking with both feet into the hospital and showing the doctors that she was healed.
Amen. Praise
Amen.
God. Did you hear that, Sandy?
Yeah, Amen. I did. And you know what? I believe it.
Amen.
I'm ready to show those doctors. Look what God can do.
Amen.
Look what God can do.
Amen.
God's going to show them all up, Sandy.
I didn't hear what?
God's going to show them all up.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
As I'm trying to say, there is no God. That's one thing I really don't like is how when I say something, well, God's going to do this, and they're like, yeah, right, not believe me, but that's my fault because I had no business walking in there. But anyway, I don't know. I know God is going to do something. He's doing it, and it's all in his hands.
Amen. I remember Marilyn Oliver went into the hospital, and them doctors told her she had 6 weeks to live. She said, I don't receive that in the name of Jesus. I am not under the curse. I'm not going to stand for it. In Jesus' name, and we got a bunch of people together, and we prayed, and she walked out of that thing in a week's time. Praise God. That's the faith we got to have, and Sandy, you have it now, and you can do the same thing. If they tell you that you have this or you have that, no, I don't receive it in Jesus' name. I'm not a child that's under the curse. The God that I serve has authority over all of that stuff. I ain't receiving it. Amen. Praise God. All right.
And he reminded me when he gave me this verse, saying he has the authority. Thank you, Lord.
Yep. Luke chapter 10, verse 19 tells you that. You've got a authority over all the power of the enemy. Praise God.
And what does all leave out? Nothing. I like that.
Yep. It don't leave a thing out. Praise the Lord.
Well, let's pray for a couple more things here. Can we? That's fine. I'm sorry. I was just thinking there's a couple more things that we should cover. It would be really good. Let's pray, Lord, Father, give us your love in all this. We need your love in our lives. We need our love, your love, in order we can show others what you're all about. You operate in love. And with your love, we cast out all fear in ourselves and others. So Lord, and we want to be embraced in being just totally encompassed by your love right now. And Father, we also want your peace. We want your peace in this situation, and we want your rest. Father, I want your love, your peace, and your rest so that our minds can be stayed and focused on you and we could just know that you have encompassed us completely with all that we need to get through these times. And we trust you, and we have our faith in you, and we just thank you, Father. Thank you so much for everything. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anybody else got anything they'd like to comment on or would like to pray about?
Michael, I'd like to comment.
Yeah, go ahead, Jackie.
Sandy, I would just like to encourage you. I read years back a testimony from John G. Lake Ministries, and it was about a brother that was having pain and discomfort in his back, and he had had multiple surgeries, and he had rods and plates and metal screws and everything put in, and he prayed. He didn't want to go back to the doctors, and they told him they would have to stay in permanently, and he woke up the next morning, and the metal hardware was laying on the bed next to him. So, regarding that fistula in your arm for the dialysis, I mean, like, if God did it for this brother and pulled out the metal, and the hardware was laying right next to him on the bed, I mean, you can't beat that.
And God is no respecter, and I like that, because he'll do that for me, too. Amen. Thank you.
You're welcome. When you mentioned the fistula and you said you didn't want, you know, to have it removed and they wouldn't remove it, and the Lord put that right back in my memory, and he said, well, you know, what about this testimony? So I'm going to believe that for you, sister.
Amen. Thank you.
You're welcome. God bless you.
You too.
Amen. And Sandy, when you go back in there to talk with the doctors, you know, just do it in love so you remember that I told you that God was going to do this. And I just wanted to come in and show you that God can do above and beyond anything that we can imagine.
Yes.
You know, amen. And that way they'll remember, and maybe the next person that comes along, they'll listen to them.
Yeah.
Praise God. All right. Anyone else got anything they'd like to share?
Michael?
Yeah, Barry.
Vanessa and I have a prayer request. We would like everyone to pray for our daughter. We have a situation where, take a minute to explain it, but we have a daughter who, she's had learning disabilities, and she's about 30 years old now. But she has she lives here at home with us, and she has just been a real problem. We know that she has demons that she's battered around by, and she doesn't ever eat with us. She eats in her own bedroom. We have a peaceful relationship with her overall, but she goes into some pretty bizarre behavior when she's upset, and she has a lot of resentment, and it's been a real trial over the years, and we haven't been in a fellowship for several years, and so we haven't had anyone that we could really talk to about it that would understand, and we've been wanting to call the conference call for some time and just haven't got it done, and asked for prayers for her. Maybe my wife wants to add something. There's a lot I could say, but I'm just trying to keep it brief.
We just really need your prayers, because this basically has been going on for a while. And I believe that she has rejection. And so if you could just help us with that,
yeah,
believing.
Absolutely. This learning disability, is that a born with thing?
Seems like it, because when she first went to school, they said that she had problems, and then they did diagnose her as mentally retarded, real mildly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And
we know that's a demon, don't we? Well, what's her name?
I'd like to, her name is Julia. I'd like to add a little bit. See, when she was growing up, she's got a real good vocabulary, and to talk to her, she sounds real intelligent, and she can take care of herself and things, but she has a hard time understanding certain things, and, and she doesn't show affection at all to, I'll go to hug her good night every night, and she'll just stand there and not respond at all. And it's hard because she doesn't, I've appealed and tried to talk, and she doesn't want to talk. She sometimes just goes into a fury, and she'll do strange things, like just snapping her fingers and doing little weird gestures and things, and she's just very, very angry, kind of rebellious gestures and things. And we've known it's demons for some time and just have taken authority, and we have peace in our house when we do, but it just is constantly, it's just something that we have lived with. It's just always a problem, and plus it has kept us from traveling and going places together because of the problem that she is, and it's really limited what we've done, so that's another aspect of it.
Okay. All right. Well, let's pray. You remember the David talking about his mother and how she would disrupt their lives or try to disrupt their lives.
It reminded me of her, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just like, that's what it is.
Well, we're all going to put our faith together, and we're going to make them roosters walk that plank and go out the door. What you think?
Great.
All right. Well, Father, we lift up Julie to you, and Lord, we thank you that you're going to do a mighty work in her for Barry and Vanessa and for yourself, Lord. We thank you for Vanessa's heart. I know that there's another girl in there. There's another woman in there. And Lord, we thank you that you're fixing to show Barry and Vanessa the real daughter that they've missed out on for all these many years. But it's going to be a great time. In the name of Jesus right now, I command that spirit of mental retardation to leave her right now in Jesus' name. I command that spirit of anger to go in the name of Jesus. I command that spirit of rejection to go in the name of Jesus. I command that spirit of fear to go in the name of Jesus. I command every foul spirit that has tormented her over these years to leave her right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, I praise you for putting peace, love, joy in her heart, Father. And I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you that she is delivered of these tormenting demons once and for all. And Lord, we thank you that you're going to place it in Barry and Vanessa's heart, that when that thing tries to come back, they'll rebuke it immediately and send it back on its way. And Father, we thank you that Julia is delivered and set free and healed in Jesus' name. Now I'm going to ask if anybody else has anything that they that I might have missed, that the Lord may be talking to you about Julia.
We bind the spirit of confusion and cast it off in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes. See, when she was young, I felt like she may just have been held back by her own just resisting learning, because just rebelling against may have been just, it was so hard, never knew for sure. She held herself back because of decisions she made, but she has just turned off all of her past and the joy we had when she was young and how she used to be. It's been gone from her for years. So anyway, but we're thankful that we know God is working now.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're just believing that Julia's going to be free, and y'all look for it and keep praying. And we are. Everybody on here believes it too. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it's Pamela. Yeah, I was just getting some other things. Lord, we just command rebellion off of Julia, hatred, a spirit of hatred, and witchcraft and control. You must leave. You are not in charge of that house, witchcraft and control. These people on this conference call have the authority, and they are in charge. So thank you, Father, that this is done. We receive it for this couple. Thank you, Lord. Out witchcraft. Out control. Yes. And that was what I was getting. That's all, Brother Michael. Thank you and bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Wasn't rejection mentioned? Did you pray that all, Brother Michael? I don't recall that.
Yes, I did. Rejection and the fear of rejection. We got that.
Okay.
But if you want to pray, go ahead.
Well, no. As long as you said that, that's good. I probably missed it because I was doing something at the time. Trying to pay attention, but I was 100%.
Missy. Focus.
Yeah.
I'm just playing with you. All right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Thank you for your prayers.
Don't feel like this is over, because if you still have continuation, continue to do what we just did, and don't stop the fight, because it might just be a battle there, but we're going to continue with this also, and if it stays, then we'll just keep on claiming our authority in the name of Jesus until this is gone.
I would like to say that I'm going to believe that it's finished. And I'm going to believe, Barry, and I'm going to keep praying like David was talking about. I'm going to keep praying, but I'm believing that it's done. It is really done. And I'm going to keep on praying for peace in your house and peace in her heart. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I had a dream last night that Julia was in a little rundown shack. Just like one room, and I was walking over to her to the left where this little shack was, and I was bringing her meal, and I said, Julia, would you like to eat with us? And she was, it seems like also she was dressed in like a real fancy nice dress. And I said, would you like to eat with us? And she said, yes. And she said something else I couldn't remember, but she talked in a really humble voice. And it was just a whole different way than she's ever been. And it really did encourage me. So.
Amen. Well, that's God telling you and confirming what we just prayed. That's what it is. He's confirming what we just prayed. Thank you, Jesus. Now that's all we do, isn't it, Barry? Vanessa, we just thank Jesus for the work that he's done.
Yeah,
in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm getting excited already. All right, anybody else?
Well, I don't know if this is strange, but it's not, because it's God, I think. Today when I took a nap, I had a friend named Julia too, growing up, and I mean, I haven't seen her in forever, and anyway, today I had a dream, and it was when I was taking a nap, and it was with my friend Julia, and we called her Julie too, and I was helping her. I came over, I went over to her house, and I knocked on the door, but I didn't know it was Julia's house. And I said, oh, Julie, I haven't seen you in a long time. And she said, oh, wow, I was just asking the Lord to help me clean up my house. And I said, well, I guess that's what I'm here for. So we were there, we were cleaning windows, And I was vacuuming and cleaning and everything, and we were praying, and we put on praise and worship music, and we were just, I mean, it was a good old time. And then I said, well, your house is clean now. And she goes, praise God. And I said, well, it's time for me to leave. And then I woke up. But I'm like, how, you know, I almost didn't say anything because I thought that was a weird dream, but how funny that her name is Julia and she needs her house cleaned.
Amen. That's another confirmation.
Yes. Thank you, Sandy. Sandy. We're standing here laughing with joy. That's really encouraging. And I wanted to say something to you, too, real quickly. I should have said this a while ago. I believe God showed me that you have a heart for warfare, so he's going to perfect you in warfare.
Oh, wow. Praise God. I'll accept that.
Thank you, Father.
Amen. I, by the way, Barry, Sandy's got a lot of dreams online on the website that a lot of them have already come true.
Wow.
So when she has a dream, it's just generally right on.
Well, that's exciting.
Brother Michael?
Yeah, Pam.
I got one more thing after I got off then after the praying. And I was kind of seeking the Lord on, well, what I got, was I supposed to share it? And when Sandy came in with what she came in with, I believe I am supposed to share it. And, you know, this is about, you know, getting our households cleaned up, of course, spiritually, you know. But I really was feeling that Julia has some things in her room that are... I don't know if they're witchcraft or just exactly what, but I just felt like she's got things in her room that are not godly and are promoting demonic activity. And, you know, now ordinarily, I mean, you know, if we'd have a 30-year-old daughter and they're out on their own, all we could do is pray, but with Julia being, you know, in the household of Barry and Vanessa, that's a different kettle of fish that way. But I'm just kind of stepping out on a limb here because Barry and Vanessa, I don't want you to feel like I'm picking on you. It's just that I was feeling that. And then when Sandy came in, it's almost like she confirmed it. So God, I just pray that you would give Barry and Vanessa light on, you know, just what kind of house cleaning, if there's any other house cleaning that's needing to be done other than spiritually wise, Lord, I just pray that, you know, you would make a way for them. You'd make the path, you know, the steps of the good man are ordered, and that you would order Barry and Vanessa's steps in this way of you know, helping their daughter with the house cleaning, including maybe demonic things or things to do with witchcraft or occult. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
That's all.
Thank you. That's very interesting.
Well. Thank you.
Well, I kind of hope I'm wrong, but if I'm not wrong, you know, it's like, I know you'll find the stuff, and because she is free now, as of tonight. I agree with Brother Michael on that. So it's just, we're going to just wait for the complete manifestation of it. So hallelujah.
Yeah.
God bless you. God bless you, Barry and Vanessa.
Thank
you. Yeah, God bless you, too.
Well, all right. Boy, this is good. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Oh, Brother Michael, I do have a praise report.
Go ahead. I'd like to hear
it. Pamela again. And then I want to, don't let me forget, I want to follow it up with a prayer then. So the praise report is regarding Barry and Irene Atkinson. She was, you know, bedridden from severe back pain from last Wednesday to last night. And the praise report is, you'll remember that at our Monday night prayer meeting then, we did pray for Irene and for Barry for different issues. Well, I got a text from him this morning, and it was a real, real awesome text that she got up this morning, and I guess she vomited some strange substance And she's feeling just 100% better now. She's walking and she's eating. He didn't say the pain is gone, but I think it is, because otherwise she wouldn't be having all these activities that she's, doing now when she was bedridden for 5 or 6 days. So that's the praise report. But, God answered our prayers, and they've manifested already that way for Irene. And the prayer then is, I'm just really feeling like Brad and Irene are supposed to join the conference calls. That, they're up in Winnipeg and they don't have a whole lot of fellowship up there. They've got some, but so I just want to pray kind of how God was putting on my heart about that earlier. So, Father, we just thank you so much for answered prayers. You are Jehovah Rapha, our healer, and we just praise you and magnify you for bringing that into this world here for Irene and for Brad. And God, I just pray that they would have the fellowship, the right kind of fellowship that they need. God, I'm just, like you said, I'm just feeling, Lord, that you want them on these conference calls. So we just speak that into, call things that be not as though they were. So we call Brad and Irene on the conference calls to get, just all of the kind of things that go on in these calls. It's amazing. The work that you're doing in us and through us with these calls. And we're just thanking you in advance that Brad and Irene are going to join the calls. And that's it then. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Amen.
All right. Thank you, Lord, for Irene's healing and deliverance, Lord. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. All right. That's awesome. We serve an awesome God. You know it. He loves us so much, and all we have to do is just have a little bit of a measure of faith to believe him. And he gives that to us. Praise God. Okay, anybody else? Got a prayer?
Michael?
Yes, go ahead.
Me?
Yeah, go ahead, Judy.
Okay. Well, I'd like to pray for my granddaughter. She's 13, and my son said she's really been lying a lot. Lying one thing after another, and he says, now I'm thinking she's even thinking that that's true, or lies are true. But, so, dear Heavenly Father, I want to bring Emily up to you. She loves you as much as she can, because she doesn't know things that well, but she's been going to Bible studies on Thursday at the school, and I've talked to her. So, Lord, let your word keep coming into her. But evil spirits and demons of lying, I bind you up and command you to get out of her. And evil spirits of rejection, evil spirits of witchcraft, evil spirits of autism, all of you guys have to go out of her now. And I thank you, Lord, and give me wisdom and the right words to say to her when I go see her in a couple weeks, that I can encourage her and talk to her more about God, that she'll remember all these things that I've told her, and that she knows and loves you even more and more, Lord. So thank you for giving Amy or Emily all these things, and I praise you. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for freeing her up of that lying spirit in Jesus'
Lord.
Name. Thank you, Lord, that spirit of autism's got to go too in the name of Jesus.
Lord.
Father, we thank you that she's going to be freed up and she's going to be a joy in everybody's life in Jesus'
Lord.
Name.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Okay. Anyone else?
Hi, Michael. I'm Anna. Yeah, could you please pray for me? I need to take a written driver license renewal test in surgery. It is so stressful for me. And didn't know with my daughter exactly how to get to give you. This is a long way and takes almost 2 hours to get there. So please pray for me, pray for us that we can drive to this place without any problems.
Okay. I'm going to need some help here, David. Did you hear, did you understand everything she was talking about?
That was difficult. You didn't come through too clear. I think you had something about driving in a distance and you needed some prayer for that. Is that what we're praying for?
Yeah, yes. It's very stressful for me to take this little driver.
Okay.
Too good.
All right. Is that right, David?
We'll try to pray here, and if there's something we missed, try to help us through that, okay? Father, we heard a need for alleviation here and a distance of driving. It took a couple hours to get there, and along the way, it's not been beneficial. So, Lord, we ask you that you leave this situation so that the time isn't going to be a constraint anymore. And it's not going to be the burden in their life. And the other issues that this is causing, Lord, we come together and all the, and we ask you to help us see through this and also help us to come together as a body to and help her through her situation so she can not be burdened with us anymore.
Amen. Lord, we just we come together for Anna. We thank you, Lord, that wherever she's got to go, that you're with her all the way. We ask for joy, peace, and rest in her heart to know that you're in control, Lord, and she doesn't have to worry about a thing, Father. We thank you for your protection upon her there and back, that the car would make it there and make it back without any problems. And, Father, we just praise you for this this trip that she's going to take, and she's going to know it's from you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Now, Anna, is there anything else?
Yeah, just to help me to take this, yeah, to take this step and be back.
Like, she wants help to pass the test. She's worried about passing the test.
Oh, okay. Is this a driver's test or something?
Yeah, it's a DMV driver's renewal test.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you that you're going to give Anna clarity of thought and that you're going to help her to pass every portion of that test, Lord. She's going to ace it in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, that Anna is going to get her driver's license without one hitch. And she's going to have favor with the driver's license people. In Jesus' name, and we praise you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, to getting her that driver's license she needs to get around in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody believes it, too.
Amen.
Thank you very much.
Okay. God bless you, girl. You're going to pass it. Don't worry about it.
Thank you.
Amen. Do you take this tomorrow?
Thursday.
Okay, Thursday. Okay, well, we're going to be looking for the good report then Thursday night.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Amen. Praise
okay.
God.
Yes, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anyone else?
Hey, Malcolm here.
Hey, Malcolm here. What's going on, brother?
Well, I just wanted to... I got a message from Stephen in prison, and he says he's believing, and I told him I would bring this up on the call, that he's believing that he'll be released soon, and he believes God wants him to have faith for that. So.
Okay. Does he have a date?
If he does, he's not. He didn't tell me.
Okay. Well, all right. Let's pray for him. What do you think?
I'll just read directly what he wrote here. I'm believing I'll be released soon and praying for a release. I think God wants me to exercise faith for this.
Okay. Good deal. Well, Father, we just hook up our faith with Stephen. And, Lord, we thank you that you're going to show favor with the parole board or whatever it has to be. Lord, we just thank you for getting Stephen out of there exactly when you want him to, Lord. And I thank you for this humbling experience that you've placed in his life, and that it's made a better, godly man out of Stephen, Father. And I thank you for it. We're looking forward to having him back on the conference call, Father. Thank you, Lord, for giving him that release from the prison. In Jesus' name, amen. Just in time for this great outpouring of your spirit, Lord. In Jesus' name. I believe that, Malcolm.
Yeah, he's getting copies of these recordings.
Okay, praise God. Does anybody else have anything on their mind they want to pray for Stephen about?
Lord, thanks for helping Stephen survive all this time he's been there. I know it's probably been a burden for him and his family. Thank you, Father, for encouraging him, and as we encourage him tonight, Father, thank you for letting him stay in our fellowship and being close to you. Lord, continue to build his faith. Continue to show him that you do love him sincerely, and that we're still his brothers and sisters, and we love him dearly. In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Lord, put the rest in his heart that you're in control. You can get out anytime you want him to, Lord. And we're exercising faith with him that you're going to get him out soon, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anyone else? I want to pray. Let me think here. I had a couple of things I wanted to pray for. I want to pray for Blake first. Father, I lift up Blake to you, Lord, and I thank you for the work that you're doing in his life, and I ask that you continue it in a mighty way, Lord, that you would draw him to you with great hunger for the Word, Lord. He had asked me when I'd seen him last, Lord, that I would send him Bible studies and that he could receive 5 typewritten pages at a time. And, Father, I thank you that we're doing that, and we're letting him chew on these Bible studies. And, Lord, I ask that you open up his eyes to see the revelations that you have for him in these Bible studies, Lord. And I thank you that you're drawing him closer and closer to you, Lord, that you're going to be able to use this young man very soon. And we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for the work that you're doing in that young man, in Jesus' name. And, Father, while I'm at it, I'm lifting up my other grandson, Chase, to you, Lord. He's gone through a lot in his 13 years of life, Father, and I ask that you cleanse him of that spirit of rejection. I command it to go from him right now in Jesus' name. The spirit of anger, I command it to go in the name of Jesus. And, Father, I thank you for his humility. He does have humility The spirit of rejection, go. Spirit of the fear of rejection, go in Jesus' name. And, Lord, you can do a mighty work in Chase just like you're doing in Blake. And I thank you that you are doing it, Father. And I praise you, Father, for the love that you're placing back in Allison and Richard's life, Lord. Sometimes we have to be taken to a place of where we can only cry out to you, Father, and it looks like that's what you're doing with them, and it looks like you're placing love back in their heart for one another, and that's good, Father. I thank you that they're going to be a love-filled family from this point on, and I command those spirits that have tormented that family to leave them right now. Keep going. I bind you up and cast you out of there in the name of Jesus, and Lord, we thank you for a family that's free of torment. Father, I ask that you place it in their hearts to get into the Word and to learn about the Word like we've been telling them for many years, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you're doing a mighty work there in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, that's a done deal. I believe it. I hope y'all believe with me. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? Boy, there's a bunch of faith in this house.
I'd like to pray for my son Aaron real quick, too, the same way. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I'd like to bind up the spirit of rejection, the fear of rejection, and slothfulness. And, Lord, I'd like to bind any kind of confusion that might be on him and any spirit that's causing him not to want to come to you, Father, in the name of Jesus. I cast that spirit out. Lord, I ask that you put in his heart a desire to get closer to you and get into your word and to start taking on this position of a manhood that he should be at his age and start growing into this person you want him to be. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for delivering that young man. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? Testimony, comments, praise reports, word
yes,
from
sir,
the Lord.
I got a praise report.
All right, Chris, go ahead.
Corbin and his buddy had a safe trip up here and back over the weekend. We had a great visit there. Great fellows, and there was blessings had all around. It was just a wonderful time.
Well, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Well, it looks like that he's expanded his business about tenfold. He's got the whole building now, it looks like. I don't know if he told you that or not.
Yes, sir, he did, and I think they're coming back soon, which will be another blessing. They're fine fellers.
Oh, okay. Praise God. Yeah, he's a good young man. He loves the Lord, and he's been working by himself. He says he's going to have to hire some help, so that's a good thing, I guess.
Yeah, he's full of joy. I mean, he's got a great spirit about him, and he's just a real blessing to be around.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you, Lord. Corbin, by the way, is David's boy. That's his oldest son, for y'all that don't know. All right, anyone else got something they'd like to share? Well, all right. I did want to share one thing before we get into the Bible study on 2 Peter. T.D. Hale came out with another prophecy, and I wanted to relate it to you. This came out, I think, 2 days ago. It says, the body of Christ is divided, and not only are they divided, they are torn, and their minds are in a state of confusion. Because of the confusion, they will elect a madman whose heart is full of lies and unstable. A man of deception who speaks those words that sound as if truth, but underneath it is lies to gain the people's trust, and they will fall for it. Trump will win the nomination and win the presidency. Obama has laid a path of destruction, but because of the heartfelt prayers, tears of repentance, intercession, destruction has been diverted for a season. But it is not the will of the Lord to see destruction, terror, and judgment. A premature season is upon the land because the people refuse to heed the voices of the prophets, watchmen, handmaidens, servants with a tender heart. Many of the candidates will lose heart after tonight. He said February the 1st, so that's when it was. Start to drop from the race to give a clear path. Ted Cruz, is of a pure heart, but the body is divided. The path has been changed, but destruction still lays in our way. So there you have it. T.D. Hale is the one who, back in 04, I believe it was, said that Obama would be president in 2008. And many more prophecies he's had that were right on, it looks like. So we'll see, okay? David may give that tomorrow, too, so I don't know. But I just wanted to throw that out there to you. Listen, I read yesterday, I believe it was, where the South Carolina primary, most of the Christian vote went to Trump. That's, man, that's an eye-opener to the deception, to the lack of discernment in the Christian body. There is so much lack of discernment in the Christian body. Somebody can just say anything, and they'll fall for it. This man is corrupt as they can be. The only difference between him and Obama is he's not a communist. He's not a Muslim, and he's not homosexual. That's the only three things. The rest of it, he's just as bad, if not worse, in areas. So, but anyway, it's God puts his man in there for what's going to happen. He's going to put his man. He says he puts the basest of men in there in office. And we've had some pretty base people in there in recent history. Well, most of the time it's been base men. So anyway, I just wanted to get that out there and let you be gnawing on that one for a while. Okay, anyone got any comments on that?
I have unrelated comments.
Do what, Malcolm?
I've got some unrelated comments.
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know if many people will. It's just some kind of parallel things I've been kind of gleaning from my work, and I was talking to Chad about this. But, I've been working on this TS-820S, this transceiver, old Kenwood hybrid transceiver. It's a radio, and it has a whole bunch of different bands that you can talk on or listen, communicate to people with. But what I found out as I was kind of going through this was that all these different little building blocks, little stages along the way, were a little bit detuned. They weren't focused on the main frequency they were supposed to be on. So the end result is the radio just doesn't work very well without lining them all up. But I just thought it was interesting as I was bringing each stage, they call it, each little tuned circuit back into alignment. The meter on the front of the radio, it's called an S meter, kept going higher and higher and higher. I thought, oh my goodness, what a change! But anyway, I was thinking about the alignment of the whole, as each member is aligned, the whole body gets more effective, and a lot of parallels you could draw from that whole. I know that the gentleman, the older gentleman that used to be in electronics, now he's a prayer walker. Forget his name right offhand, but he's kind of drawn some parallels along that line as well.
Oh, Groover?
Yeah, Henry Groover, yeah.
Yeah.
He used to be in the engineering. But the other thing I thought was really interesting, and I don't know if you can draw some parallels from this, but the noise blanker circuit, you'd understand this, Michael, the IF stage, I mean the IF part of everything it just means intermediate frequency, where a radio changes the main frequency to something else, some other frequency. Anyway, in that circuit, you have to line everything up, but the noise blanker circuit is interesting because it takes what's right on the money and true, and it slightly diverts it. And what it does is it takes that little bit of noise noise that's coming through, and it runs it back through another series of circuits, and then it amplifies the noise. It amplifies the bad stuff, and then it feeds it back in kind of at the beginning again, and you end up with a whole lot less noise coming out of your radio. It's quite an amazing thing, but it's interesting you have to slightly detune a couple stages to make that work properly. So I don't know if you could glean any spiritual lessons out of that one, Michael. Maybe you can.
Well, amen. I like the one where you're getting each stage of the frequencies aligned. And when they align completely, you get that radio aligned completely, you'll be putting out the full wattage, the full power of that radio. And that's the same way with us.
And you can hear from God. Right, right. And same with receiving. You can hear from God better if you're all
lined
up.
Amen. That's right. We prophesy in part and we say in part, don't we? And so when we come together, when we're all aligned with God, then the message that we receive from God is a complete picture. Praise God. Not only that, when we pray and we're all aligned, we're all in one accord, the power of God goes forth and those prayers get answered quickly. I love it. I love it. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, it was amazing. I ended up with an F meter that was just dead, and it kept climbing and climbing, and it was getting way up to, up to F9 now.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, we need to be a F9 here, too. Praise God. Amen.
Okay, there you go.
All right. Thank you. That's a good analogy. Thank you, Lord. How many of you have read Sanctification Before Blessing? That is an awesome, awesome Bible study for believers, because what it teaches us is this one little deal here, and it sounds like it's kind of incidental, but it is major in a body of Christ, and that is this, that if there is sin in the body of Christ, then the body cannot be blessed to its fullest extent. To the extent that there's sin in the camp, the body is not going to be blessed. And so that's why it is imperative that everybody allows God to do that work in your life. And when He gives you something to repent of, you go ahead and repent of it. That means change. Quit doing it. And get back on track with the Lord. And we've all been through it, you know. We've all been through these trials that God has put us through over the years. And sometimes it hurts. It hurts bad. But the benefits are great on the other side of it. I've said at times that I've been pulled through. It felt like I've been pulled through a knothole backwards. And it really does. It feels that way. But on the other side, the relief is so much better because you're perfectly in God's will at that time, and praise God for it. So that's what he's talking about there with that lining that transceiver up. It's the same thing with us. God's lining his transceiver up too, and he's tweaking us here and he's tweaking us there, and he's getting this filter lined up, and he's getting this capacitor lined up, and he's getting this little thing over here lined up in somebody, and then all of a sudden that S meter starts climbing. That S meter is the power of God comes up, and then we get to where Kurt had a dream about a vision about 4 years ago of that golden thread going through God's people's hearts and knitting them together. And I can just see the Lord pulling that thread, that gold thread, harder and harder as we come closer and closer and closer to that one accord that he wants us all in. And the power of God is going to sweep through this nation like a wall of fire. And that revival will start, and it's going to sweep through this land in a way that it never has before. And many, many, many people are coming to Christ because we have allowed God to work in our lives. And other people all across this world are doing the same thing. And that's how God will use His bride in the days ahead. Praise God. Man, I'm getting excited. We're getting close, folks. We're getting close. Praise God. Okay. Has anybody got anything they'd like to share before we get into the Bible study?
Hello?
Yeah, Andrew.
I got a verse, Proverbs chapter 8, because today's the 8th. I read a proverb a day, and the verse I'd like to read is verse 21. That I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. And, of course, the treasures are the glory of God. Amen.
The glory and the excellence of God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. That's a good one. That is a great one. Anyone else? Andrew, that pretty well puts us into this Bible study in 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'm going to read 1 through 11 right quick, and then we're going to get into it. I'm going to allow y'all to tell me what the Lord has shown you on these in this these particular verses. There's a lot in them. I don't think we can cover it all in one night. I know we can't, but there's a lot in it. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained a like precious faith with us in the righteousness of our God and the Savior, Jesus Christ. Turn this light on. Grace to you and peace be multiplied in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now, see, listen to this. Seeing that His divine power hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that called us by His own glory and virtue, whereby He hath granted unto us His precious and exceeding great promises, that through these you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world by lust. Verse 5, yea, and for this very cause, adding on your part all diligence in your faith, supply virtue, and in your virtue, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, patience, and in your patience, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, hang on. Sorry about that, I had to sneeze. And in your virtue, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, patience, and in your patience, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if things are yours and abound, they make you to be not idle nor unfruitful unto the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he that lacketh these things is blind, seeing only what is near, having forgotten the cleansing from his old sins. Wherefore, brethren, give the more diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never stumble. For thus shall be richly supplied unto you the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Can somebody tell me what that represents? Those verses, 1 through 11? David talks about them often in a lot of his Bible studies. He calls them, I'll just throw it out there. He calls them the seven attributes of Jesus. That's the seven attributes of Jesus. All right, anybody want to expound on these verses 1 through 11 in 2 Peter?
Well, this would be the chosen.
Do what, Marlon? I'm sorry.
This would be the chosen that he was talking to here.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. He's talking to God's people here.
Those that have manifested Jesus or become sons, manifested sonship.
Amen. Yes, he is.
I guess that's pretty obvious in the first verse already, because he says, to them that have obtained, they've already done that.
Amen, that's right. To them that have obtained a like precious faith with us.
Michael?
Hey, go ahead, Linda.
I was wondering, I was thought it might be interesting if we could, you know, take these words, look them up in the dictionary, like diligence, and then diligence. And diligence means in the dictionary. Diligence is steadfast application, assiduousness, industry, the virtue of hard work, one of the seven heavenly virtues. Diligence behavior in indicative work ethic. A belief is good in itself, but, you know, we're talking about here. But to kind of get an on these different words, that might be.
Okay, well, you know, as we come to them, we can do that if you'd like. If you feel led to give us a definition of them, that'd be great. This first verse, some, you know, I don't know if any of you know this, but the second epistle of Peter, there has been controversy over the years, many years, centuries, that it may or may not have been written by Peter. But it doesn't make any difference whether it was written by Peter or anybody else. I think it was. But we know it was written by the Holy Spirit because it's the numerics tells us that. Anyway, it's all scriptural stuff. It's all good stuff. And we believe that it's part of the Bible. It's part of the New Testament. It's part of Peter's writings, I believe. But they're just to show you, just to tell you and let you know that has been controversy in the past about it. But it's canonical. It's in there. Praise God. And that's where it's going to stay. He says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. That word servant there, if you look over in your, if some of you got the ASV, it has a side note on there. It says bond servant. A bond servant is one who was a slave, if I'm not mistaken, was a slave and didn't want to be set free because he loved his master and he served him. And through the years, and this is what Peter calls himself, is a bond servant, and Paul did the same thing. The apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have attained, just like Marlon was talking about, that's the people of God. A like precious faith with us in the righteousness of our God and the Savior Jesus Christ. We're all looking for that righteousness, aren't we? We're all looking for it. Praise God. Anybody got anything else on that first verse there?
Well, what I'm seeing here, it looks to me like it's covering Ephesians as far as how the Lord appointed apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But it goes on further in Ephesians 4 there. It says, till we attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a full-grown man. It sounds to me like Peter's addressing that group as that they've been able to raise up into that full-grown man of Christ and the knowledge of the Son of God also. than the fullness of Jesus Christ, maybe. That's interesting.
Amen. Yep. Anybody else?
The bondman. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can. Go ahead, Andrew.
By whom you are overcome, by the same you are also enslaved. That's he's overcome with Christ, with rapture to be enslaved as his bondman, as he's the apostle. That's just sort of like a mini addition to that bondman word.
Amen. Bond servant, yep. And apostles were appointed by Jesus, weren't they? So that means that the Lord is the one who appoints apostles. And the thing about an apostle, they are servants of God's people. They're humble, they're meek. All of those things in Matthew 5 talk about. They have the attributes of Jesus. They have these seven attributes that he talks about here in this book as well. That's what an apostle is. And it's not that somebody, you see it on TV all the time, apostle so-and-so and such, when they aren't any more apostle than, you know, a new Christian. These apostles are appointed by God. They are ordained by Jesus. And then in the days to come, the man-child will appoint apostles and prophets and evangelists. Well, he'll appoint the apostles, and then, of course, the apostles will go out and appoint the elders or the prophets, the pastors and teachers and evangelists and so on and so forth, that have obtained a like precious faith in the righteousness, precious faith with us in the righteousness of our God and the Savior Jesus Christ. If you look at that, we're all supposed to be striving to walk like Jesus walked, right? So that's what he wants us to do. And then over in verse, anybody got anything else on verse 1?
Michael?
Yes, sir, Barry.
Yes, I think I have a little bit too. I was thinking of a few days ago about, you know, when Jesus said, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. And I was thinking of how so many Christians people who call themselves Christians, they believe that all they need to do is to gather with other Christians. I sort of saw this image of Jesus in this big multitude, as he would be, you know, in the Gospels, as it would talk about, and right in the center, he would be there, and there'd be those few men that were the closest to him, and they were the ones that were gathering with him. The other ones might have been gathering because they were curious, or because their friends were there and they wanted to go with them, or whatever. But I was just seeing there's a big difference between gathering with the body that, you know, is just on the periphery or doesn't hold to the apostles' doctrine. I was seeing this in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and the prayers. And this thing about, you know, who would be the closest to Jesus? Where would Jesus' word be the most concentrated? It would be in the apostles and the prophets and these other giftings of this fivefold ministry that are the closest to Jesus. It's just, this is what he's calling us into. Without that kind of, I don't know. Feel awkward trying to express this, but you know what we see as David Eales talks about so often is not what the first century church had. What we see around us, and they've left this. They've left the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, but this is what he's talking about here, those who have obtained a like precious faith with us. And he's talking about him and the other apostles, I think, primarily.
Amen. I believe it too. I believe he's talking about the disciples there and all the apostles as well. That's good. Thank you, Barry. Anybody else want to talk about that first one, you know, that first verse there? You know, Barry's right. Even today, most denominations don't even believe that there are apostles today. They don't believe in anything but pastors and teachers now. And evangelists, I'm sorry. Pastors, teachers, and evangelists is all they believe in. Prophets and apostles, no, ain't there. And they don't have verse of scripture to go with that. And yet they want to say that they're not in operation today, that the office of apostle is not in operation and the office of prophet is not in operation. That's just crazy. That's just denying the words of God. That's going back to Revelation 22 and 18 and 19. It says if you add to or take away from, you know, you don't want to do that. But they're doing it every day. But yes, there is. God hasn't changed anything out of the New Testament. It's all still there. Everything is still there. All the offices are there, and the gifts are available to God's people. The 9 gifts of the Spirit. All right. Anyone else have something to bless us with on that first verse? You know that actually Simon Peter, when it says Simon Peter, the word in the Greek was Simeon, who was Simon Peter. He was called a number of things, you know. He was called Peter, he was called Simon, he was called Cephas, Simon Bar-Jonah. Does anybody think of another one that he was called? But here he was called Simeon in the Greek, which is Simon, I guess. All right. Let's go to verse 2. And it says, grace to you and peace be multiplied in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. He always, if you've noticed in the scriptures, they always put grace before peace. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Peter did anyway, in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. We all need that grace, don't we? We need God's grace for the knowledge of God. We need God's grace to open up our eyes to see and the revelations to come forth, don't we? Anybody see anything there? And you know, look, he talks about seeing the end in view there. Grace to you and peace be multiplied in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. He's calling things that be not as though they were.
It's by his grace that we get faith.
Amen.
You have to have faith for all those attributes of Christ.
Amen. Go ahead, Barbara. I'm sorry.
No, that was it. That's what I see there. Grace.
All right. Anybody see anything else?
I could see him standing up in front of people he's going to teach and pronouncing that blessing on them.
Amen. If we didn't have God's grace, we wouldn't know about God, would we? We wouldn't have that knowledge. We wouldn't have our eyes opened up, spiritually speaking, to even see the truths of the Word of God. We'd be like most of the denominational people. We just go there on a Sunday morning, spend a couple of hours, and think we're in the kingdom. And that's all we do for 40 years. We think everything's okay. In fact, all of y'all know by the Lord's teaching through David that there's a whole lot more to it than just going to church. Matter of fact, that's the least of it. The best thing, God wants his people righteous. He wants a holy, spotless church. he's going to get it. One way or the other, he's going to get it. Praise God.
And Michael, the word knowledge there, is it the state or fact of knowing, experienced, or study? Let's see, the state of, or fact of knowing, and then familiarity, awareness, and understanding gained through experience or study. Like, you know, Brother Eel says, you know, if we don't know, study the Bible, we can't enjoy this grace and mercy and peace.
That's good. Thank you, Linda. Yeah, that knowledge, you got to learn about the knowledge before you know about him, don't you?
Right.
Got to read the Word and study the Word and renew our mind with the Word of God. Thank you, Lord. Okay, let's go to the next one right quick. This may be the only one we get to go to because there's a lot here. I guess y'all are seeing this. Seeing that his divine power hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and virtue. Actually, it goes along with 4 and 5 as well. 4. Whereby he hath granted, all of these sentences go together, seeing that his divine power hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and virtue, whereby he hath granted unto us his precious and exceeding great promises, that through these you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world by lust. Y'all see what he's saying there? Can anybody tell me what the Lord is showing us here? Look at all the prepositions there. And let's just circle things here for a minute. Let's see what we got here. Let's start out with, circle up, his divine power hath granted unto us all things. Hath granted unto us all things. Hang on just a second. Let me get my notebook here. His divine power hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Now, if you'll circle that, we'll see something here. Because through God's power, he has granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. All things that pertain unto life and godliness. That's the power of God. Everything he's given everything to us to walk this holy life, hadn't he? And then let's circle the next one. Through the knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and virtue. By his own glory and virtue. Talk to me now. What are you seeing here? You seeing anything? How does one pertain to the other? How does one go to the other? Y'all look at the words. Let's try to dissect it. Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
Well, the power is the Lord's might, and that's the Spirit of the Lord. It's also the glory of the Lord. This glory also pertains to his life, as it says in John. In him was life, and this life is the light of men. And that's the glory that he's sharing with us. And the glory of his knowledge is also the spirit of his knowledge. It's the spirit that calls us into this life, so that by this life we receive his life, the glory of God. The light that's in him, he's sharing with us to ignite us more and more into this glory, which is the receiving of more and more of his life as you increase in glory. Because the life here has to pertain to the glory through the divine power, which also has to something to do with the divine nature. It's part of his nature and his life. So it's a gaining of more of Christ in you. That's what I get out of it, just from what it says in John, that in him was life, and this life is the light of men. And this light is that that light that's within you, and it emanates from you, because we are clothed in this this garment that's luminous, and this luminous garment is part of the Spirit of God's knowledge and wisdom and understanding, his teaching, his might or his power. And these are all spiritual attributes, because they're light, and it's his Spirit, and it's the glory at the same time, and it's very existence. Because in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, it refers to them as the Spirit of his knowledge and his Spirit of his understanding and his wisdom and the fear of the Lord and the might of the Lord and the counsel of the Lord and of course the anointing and that which sets us apart and makes us holy and it's the life of Christ manifested in us, and it very much so has to be through his glory that emanates from the life through his word. It's a creation in us that's increasing. That's how I see it anyway.
You know, the word divine in the dictionary means being or having the nature of a deity. You know, we can walk just like Jesus, in the blood of Jesus.
Amen. And in these two sentences, he tells us exactly how it's done. That's the great thing about it. All of this is talking about, as Andrew was talking about, that life and godliness through the knowledge, that's the knowledge that we put through the Word of God, right? As for the call, too, he says, of him who called us to his own glory. Jesus had to call each one of us. We just can't walk in there and start doing it. God had to call each one of us into this walk that he wants us to walk. And then he says, the life and godliness is the divine nature. That's, as Andrew was talking about, that's the divine nature that God wants us to walk in. And having escaped the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. How do we do that? Through the precious and very great promises that God gave us, right? So that through them, through what? Through the promises, you may become partakers of the divine nature. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. He's given us the answer right there. And who called us to his own glory and excellence. This is good. This is good stuff here, man. I'm telling you. Glory to God. This is good stuff. It says, the power of God leads us to call, the call to glory and excellence by knowledge, right? And that leads us to the precious great promises, which helps us to escape from the desires of the world. And what happens when we do that? We share in God's divine godliness. Praise God. That's good. Anybody got anything else on it?
Go ahead. Go ahead, Linda.
I was just thinking about the scripture, in, I think it's John 4:17b, where it says, when we go through all of this, as Jesus is now in his supernatural resurrected power, so are we now in this world. And this study will prepare us for that place. That's what I was thinking.
Amen.
What I see also is, we've probably touched it, but it's the divine power. So we definitely have God doing this. It says he's granted us, but he's doing it through his power to make this thing come through and be accomplished. So I know for me, the more I trust in him to accomplish these things, the more I see it happen. And that brings me to agreement with him in the knowledge of how this thing is going to take place and understanding how this is going just by accepting it, believing it, and saying, well, just like in a lot of ways Linda has said, just believing that you are what it says you are, but also believing that he's the one that's going to accomplish it and looking to him for the source of that power to get this thing done. Not just saying, oh, totally by faith, but saying, Lord, it's by your power it's going to be done, and recognizing him for that, giving that glory, and giving him the praise for this to be to come into this fullness.
Amen. That's great. That's right. Art, does somebody else have something there?
I think that's why it's saying to be diligent in your faith, as it reads, you know, down a little bit more, but to be diligent in our faith. So that we can see, because he's saying seeing, meaning, you know, we see with spiritual eyes, that it's already been granted to us. So we be diligent in our faith to see that it's already been accomplished and granted to us. And then, like Dave was saying, you know, we trust him to do that work in us. As Jesus said, we can do nothing apart from him. He does that work in us, and we just trust him to do that, so we be diligent in our faith, is what they're saying further down. I don't know. That's what I got. That's,
well, that's good. That's right along the lines that I was, you know, looking at, too. He's already granted it. It's already been given. We're seeing the end in view, aren't we? We're accepting that he's already given us everything that we're ever going to receive. He's already given us that life and godliness that comes through the knowledge of the gospel. Amen. Just like David was talking about.
Diligence means a persistent application to one's, let's see, occupation or studies, which is, you know, the Bible is ours. Persistent application.
Diligence. Can I add to that a little bit?
Yes, you can. Go ahead.
This is always one that really gets me. This diligence, I really think that could be a biblical definition of diligence, being fully assured that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Those he's are the Almighty God. I like to think of it Almighty God, and Jesus taught us to call him Father. We have an Almighty Father, and that's very personal to know that your Father is like this, and that's the diligence we're looking at to see that without a doubt that we're going to wax strong through the faith that he has given to us as a gift from being part of the corporate body of Christ, giving glory to God for it because he's sovereign and he's actually doing all this through us, even the knowledge.
Amen. That's good. Thank you very much. Well, folks, we're out of time. Oh, go ahead. We can right. Stay over.
I was just going to add, to me, what I get out of diligence here is what we put in us, to be careful what we put in us, kind of with what he says, you know, before and after. That's kind of what I see in it.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. He's already given it to us. Praise God. Okay. Does anybody got any before we get out of here? Just remember, we're on verse 4, 3 and 4. We still got some more stuff that's in there that I'd like to cover next Thursday. So y'all take a look at it. And it's been a good night. I believe God's going to answer prayers tonight. Well, I know He is. He's going to answer our prayers, and we're going to hear some good testimonies come Thursday. Well, Father, I just lift up everybody to you that was on tonight, Lord, and I ask that you bless them mightily with a good night's sleep, with dreams and visions, Lord. We want to see those, what you're going to do for us, what's going to happen here in the next little bit, Lord. We ask for more words from you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, give us wisdom and understanding and discernment in the days ahead, Lord. We need as much as we can get. We'll take everything we can get, Lord, and we praise you for it, Lord. Bless everybody with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Fill us all up with your Holy Spirit, Father, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Good night, everybody. We love you. We'll see you Thursday. God willing.
Good night.
Thank you, Linda.
Good night.
Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.